few instructions as we have our teens and our college and career will be coming up and giving testimony of the time, the things that God taught them while they were at the Wilds. Guys, just so you know, if you get nervous, there's a community glass of water up here. Just feel free. Take a sip. Just don't spit back in it, whatever you do, all right? All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to try and do tonight, we're going to start with our college and career since they went last weekend. It may be a little bit harder for them to remember some of the things, so I want them to be able to go first. Also give these teens time to settle down and really know what God's got going on in their life. So any of the college and career that'd like to come up and say something, y'all come right on now.
Hey, y'all. My name's Lindsay Dyer, for those who don't know me. The Wilds came just when I need it, as per usual. The reason I love the Wilds so much is because it is what we call it. It's a retreat. And that's exactly what I was looking forward to when I went. I didn't know why, but I was just looking to escape real life. I just was like so excited to just get out of it. I just wanted to be out of it. And I didn't know why. I honestly didn't. But when I got there, of course, God showed me why. Because when I got there, I still felt like I was in real life. Like, I didn't feel like it was a treat as much as it had been in the past. I still felt kind of like unrested, unsatisfied. And one of the messages that he preached about, I think it was Saturday night, was literally titled, "Are You Content?" And I was like, no, I'm not. And I don't know why. And he showed me why, obviously. There was a lot of things he said on it. It was about how if you're not content, it's probably because you're not focusing on what you're supposed to be focusing on. And I wasn't. I'm focusing on my circumstances and depending on them to make me happy. And they haven't been. And another thing God spoke to me about is literally giving this testimony itself, because I don't know if it looks like I'm comfortable up here, but I'm really not. So I never want to do this, but I feel like it's selfish of me to not share what God's done in my life, because every time they come up here and they tell me about what God's done in their lives, I always get something out of it. So if I were to sit there in my seat and not tell you guys about what I've done, that would just be selfish. And that's another thing that's been giving me unrest, but God showed me that all I need to do is focus on Him, because He's greater than my circumstances, so just pray that I'll continue to do that.
Amen. Anyone else from that college and career retreat want to come give testimony? Then we'll move on to the teens, which was just this past weekend. Guys, remember, when you come up, make sure you give your name, full name, you don't have to give your full name, but first and last, okay? No Social Security number or anything like that is required. All right? Make sure you give your full name, and everybody knows you had fun, okay? All right, was the zip line fun?
No.
No. Was the swing fun?
Yes.
No. All right. Was the food good?
No.
Was the speaker good?
Yes.
All right, so we took care of all that part of your testimony. So now let's get to what God did, okay? Let's get to what God did through the speaker, through the things, maybe something that He showed you in your God night time. That's what we want to hear tonight. If you went and you had a sponsor that went, this is a perfect opportunity. You don't have to know who they are, but you can just say thank you, because all the sponsors know who, they don't know who they sponsored, but they know they gave. So this would be a perfect opportunity to just say thank you to them, and that way everyone gets a little praise here. All right? Who wants to go first? All right, come on, Jeremiah.
So my name is Jeremiah Patterson, and I had the privilege to go to the Wilds this past weekend. But the thing that stood out to me the most was probably on the Saturday night service. He was talking about how we're putting our life into perspective, and how we need to live for like eternity and not just for the here and now. And I just want you all to pray for me that I'll actually see how little my life is, but how much God wants to use it, so I'll live for eternity and not just live for the like here and now. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Valerie Heiss. And this week at the Wilds was very fun, especially gazebo. Well, there's a lot of people. I really liked the preacher. His name was Ben Farrell. And on Saturday afternoon, he preached about fearing God. And, well, I haven't really been fearing God like I should. And so if y'all could pray for me for that. And also, I would like to thank all the sponsors.
Amen. Amen. She mentioned the speaker's name. His name is Ben Farrell. Most of you are probably familiar with Tom Farrell. You've probably heard some of his preaching. Ben is his son. And if you closed your eyes while Ben was preaching, you would think Tom Farrell was up there preaching, because they had a very similar style. All right, who's next?
I've been doubting a lot about believing in God and stuff like that. And if I'm actually a Christian, because I've done some bad things in the past. And I don't, I don't appreciate that I've done. And, like, my question is, like, am I going to be in the book of life? I'm going to go to heaven or hell? And my counselor, Kyle, that I think it was, like, either Saturday or Sunday, we went downstairs, and he showed me a few verses. I don't remember which ones, but he says, as long as you believe in God and you put things to work and basically not be a this person that comes to church and just not listen, and you just need to, like, you need to believe in him, actually believe him. You need to have faith. And that's basically what I learned.
Hey, guys. For those who don't know me, I'm Kendra Davis. And like they said, Pastor Ben was just amazing. But this morning he preached about don't stop running, like running the Christian race, and how we're like athletes, and how in the biblical times the athletes were like even higher above like generals that like went and conquered people. And so we're in the race, and but sin is tripping us and entangling us and keeping us from running our race. And for God and I time this morning, they told us to read James 1, and the verse that really stuck out to me is verse 27, and it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." And the last part of that verse, and to keep him unspotted from the world, like, really spoke to me, because, like, we're supposed to be different and not, like, blend in with the world. And, like, I try to fit in with people so much, and I don't need to. So just pray that I would be unspotted from the world.
Hi, I'm Abby Wilson, for the people who don't know me. At the Wilds, we have this thing called God and I time, and my counselor really helped me with that. Something today we learned about was when we look in the mirror in the mornings, like, if our hair is messed up or something, we fix it. When we're reading our Bible, we figure out, like, the sin that we have, why don't we fix it? I need help with that. And also, it's just nice to go to the Wilds when, instead of all the teenagers having their phones in their faces and people actually seeing, like, interact with God and each other, so.
Saturday morning during chapel time, he talked about the power to direct, destroy, he talked about taming the tongue, and he said, "The tongue has the power to direct, destroy, and delight." He talked about direction, how, like, the ship with the rudder, like the tiny little thing, can, like, direct the ship. Yeah, and then he talked about the horse with the, like, mouthpiece thing, and the horse will go this way or that way, whichever way you pull and stuff. He said, you can really direct someone's life or something like that, and direction. And then for destroy, he said, a tiny little spark on a match can start a forest fire, or it's like a deadly poison. He said, we can destroy someone's life with our words. And then he said, has the power to delight. We can lift people up with our words. He said, there are five types of tongues. He said, the complaining tongue, the cutting tongue, the contentious tongue, the conceited tongue, and the conceding tongue. And I realized that, like, my tongue is, like, all five of those. Yeah. And so would you please pray for me that I'll be able to do that? And he also said that no one can tame their tongue. Like, it says in the Bible that the tongue is, like, untamable thing. He said, only God can tame our tongue, so please pray that God will tame our tongue. And thanks for the sponsors. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Verdasia Billups. For those who don't know me, this was my first year at the Wilds, and it was a really great experience. I learned a lot at the service about looking upon Jesus and how I have not been doing that, and that I've been sliding off the path that I've been wanting to go to, and that I really want y'all to pray for me, let God take control of my life instead of me trying to take control of it. And that's it. Oh yeah, thanks for the sponsor and what Crooked Creek has done for me.
Hi, I'm JJ, and as usual, the Wilds was amazing. And this weekend, our pastor was Pastor Ben, and he had a lot to say. But one of the main things that stood out to me was on Saturday morning, he was talking about taming our tongue. And one problem I have with my tongue is I tend to complain a lot more than I should. And so God just spoke to me about that and how I shouldn't complain and just be more grateful. So if y'all just pray for me to not complain so much, that'd be great.
I'm Geneva Nguyen, for those who don't know me. And what really spoke to me at the Wilds this weekend was the God and I time. And on the first day, we were given Ephesians 4:22-32. And what verse spoke to me in there was Ephesians 4:29. And it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And James 1:19, which says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And so I don't exactly say the nicest things to everybody. I speak my mind a lot of times, and it hurts a lot of people's feelings. And if y'all just pray for me to not be like that and think what I say and ask, like, what would Jesus do in this situation so that I could not be so, like, mean to other people. If y'all just pray for me with that.
Hey guys, I'm Cody Davis. Last night's service, the message was entitled "For What Is Your Life?" And the first thing he did, he talked about how short life is and how you only have one shot at it. It's single. But the second point was the big one for me. It was, "What is the donation of your life?" And he started out by asking the question, "What have you done that has seen somebody come to the Lord or touched somebody's like spiritual lives and drawn closer to the Lord in the last 9 months?" And I realize that it's been even longer than that since I've done anything worthwhile, something that it's actually impacting people, and how I've been wasting my life. And then he went on to give an analogy. He said, "Your life, you are basically like a jug, big jug of water. The water is the life, and it's the light and all like that in you. And the day you're born, it starts pouring out slowly. And if you just pour it on the ground, it's wasted, it's gone. You're never going to be able to get it back. But if you take it and pour it into other containers, then it's still going on. It's still contributing to things. So just pray that I will be able to use my life to reach others and to just be have an impact on people."
I thought about drinking that water, but somebody took a sip. All right. I'm Brad Stringer, for those who don't know me. And before I got up here, I couldn't decide which topic I wanted to talk about, so I decided to mention both. The first thing that spoke to me was the first message I heard, which was Saturday morning. He spoke about the tongue. And sometimes I can say stuff that doesn't really sound that bad at first until I walk away from the conversation, and then I'm like, that's kind of harsh. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. And so the verses he gave was really emphasized the message he gave. I don't really remember what they were, but... And then the second thing that really spoke to me was during devotions last night, our counselor mentioned just being in God's Word. And he just said it like it was. He said, "If you don't get in God's Word, your life's going to fall apart, especially when you get into college." And he said, it's something we can just overlook most of the time, is, you know, and if we do get into reading His Word, we can sometimes see it as a chore, which is kind of my issue. So if you would just pray for me that I would learn to get into God's Word and that I would watch my tongue.
First of all, I want to say thank you very much for everyone that sponsored a teen. That one Sunday morning, I stood up and made the announcement that we needed sponsors, and people just immediately started coming up handing me money. In fact, so many people handed me money that I had cash, and I could not remember one person that actually gave me the money. So thank you to all your sponsors. And then I needed another one right there at the last minute, and that person just gave willingly, no questions asked, no problem at all. So thank y'all very much for all the sponsors. And the services were wonderful. The preacher preached great messages. I need to hear them all as usual. But the main one I need to hear, that I've heard a million times before, but evidently I haven't gotten it yet, is taming the tongue. And I continue to have a critical tongue and to be very harsh and unkind to my precious children and my sweet husband and anybody else that might be around sometimes that just get it. So please pray for me that I will eventually get this and stop. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Anna Nguyen, and I don't have my notes with me today, so y'all are just going to have to bear with me, but I do remember, I think it was on the first night there, we had an evening service, and it really touched me. It was, we all know the parable about, you know, the seeds and how they're tossed on the different types of grounds, and, you know, stuff like that, and so just, he was talking about how, like, you know, some seeds would go on, like, the hard ground, and they just don't sprout at all or whatever, and then there's some other ones that go on, like, the weeds, and they're good until they get choked out, you know, by the weeds. So then would y'all just pray for me? I really don't want that to happen to me. Pray that I was buried in good soil and that I can go through this as a Christian and live for Christ. Thank you. Oh, and thank you to all the sponsors.
We're going to talk a little bit tonight about a few things that that God worked on me and kind of spoke to me about. Not necessarily from one of the messages, but just what He was working on me while we were up there this weekend. Has anybody ever made an exchange, made a trade for something? It's great when that works out for the best, right? I can remember back probably, I don't know, 82, 83 maybe, I had an old Suzuki TM400 motorcycle. It was a piece of junk, but it was a treasure to me. I paid $400 for it. And I drove that thing till I almost drove the wheels off of it. Me and another friend of mine who had a motorcycle, and we would do trail riding and we'd have fun. Well, needless to say, one time during my ride, I wrecked that thing. And after that, I didn't have near the desire that I had had once before to ride that thing. I don't know, something about rolling down the middle of the highway at 45 miles an hour in an uncontrolled somersault kind of takes that desire away. So I didn't ride it very much after then, but I had a friend that I was working with that said, man, I want me a trail bike. I need something like that. And I said, well, all right. And he said, I can trade you. I said, well, what you got? He said, I've got a 69 Chevrolet Stepside Long Bed. I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. He said, now, the motor's over in the back. It's not in the truck anymore, and it hadn't run in a while. And so I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I said, but let me call my dad. My dad gives good advice. So I called him up and I said, Dad, this is what I got. He wants to trade me that motorcycle that's sitting out there for a truck that doesn't have a motor in it. I got to the, he said, is the motor with it? I said, yeah, it's in the back. He said, but it, you know, I don't know how long it's been. I don't know if the motor's any good. And he said, has it got four wheels? I said, yep. He said, well, you're gaining, so go ahead, swap it out. So we traded, and my dad and I can't tell you how much fun I had rebuilding the motor in that thing and re-putting that thing back together with my dad, and we put that thing back in that truck, and it ran like a dream. Had a little tick in it, but it ran like a dream. And I drove that thing till after Andrew and I got married, and I loved it. And that was a good trade. But can I tell you, sometimes exchanges aren't so well. Let me tell you, there was one exchange back in history. It happened all the way back in about 1929 or so. A baseball player that played for the Boston Red Sox was traded to the New York Yankees. Now, he was traded for quite a bit of money at that time. It was $125,000. But he was traded in such a way that they didn't really think he was going to be that good. He played the outfield. He was a good hitter. But he was an outfielder and something they could just kind of trade around and work out. Worked out great for the Yankees. Some of you may recognize some of his nicknames. He was the Sultan of Slam. He was the Great Bambino. It was George Babe Ruth, who went on to make millions for the Yankees. Still holds batting records. Held the home run record, what, until the mid-70s when Hank Aaron was finally able to break it. And everybody else has to have steroids to even get close. But That was not such a good trade for the Red Sox. Great trade for the Yankees. But can I tell you, we don't trade to intentionally have a bad trade. I mean, you would not take a good car and say, I think I like that piece of junk over there, and intentionally trade for something that you didn't think you were going to get some more value out of. When we went on our mission trip, we exchanged our money. We got up there and a dollar U.S. was worth $1.22 in Canada. We're making money right off the bat. So we get up there and we trade it in. Well, then we got ready to come back and we had to trade it back. Not so good. By then it had gone down a little bit more, so we didn't even get as much back as we had traded. But can I tell you that there was an exchange one time in history that to man would seem like a terrible exchange. But God made the exchange for our benefit. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse tonight. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let's pray. Father, we just pray that You would take Your Word, not my words, but Your Word, and speak to the hearts of the individuals who are here tonight. Lord, I don't know what they need, but You knew in eternity past who would be here tonight, who would listen to Your Word and maybe get something out of it. So Lord, I pray that You would take Your Word and by Your Spirit speak to hearts tonight. Lord, we ask that You would just bless this time we have together. And we think about our pastor as he begins his vacation time with his family. God bless him. And help them to have a great time of refreshing and rejuvenation as they get together with their family. Lord, we ask now that You would bless our time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at that trade that we see here in verse 8. It says, "God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Do you realize that sometime in eternity past, God looked down and knew what was going to happen with us as human beings, and He had already decided at that time that He was going to give His only Son in exchange for the lives of sinners like me and you. Look what it says. It says, the first thing it says is, while we were yet sinners. Now, while is a period of time. Right? You ever been in the car with your parents going on vacation somewhere and you say, "How much longer?" And they go, "We'll be there in a little while." All right? Just a little while. Things that time, that while, even though we know it is a period of time, it can be a varying period of time. And we don't understand. But we know that God looked down on us as sinners and said, "You know what? I know there's a period of time that's going on here, but in the right time, I'm going to send my Son in exchange for the lives of sinners. I'm going to take that little while that's out there, and I'm going to bring my Son down there to die for them." Listen to what else it says. Not only is it that He was that matter of time and while, we see that it was for we. It says, while we were yet sinners. That's a plural noun there, right? We, us, more than one of us. If you think back about John 3:16, where it says, "Whosoever," that would be a large group of people. That's us. That's us that we see right here. And as we look and we say, okay, well, then while that time, while we were yet sinners. And you see that little word, "were"? Now what does that mean? That's past tense. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul is writing this letter, this book of Romans, this letter to them, to a group of people who had already seen that this polytheism that the Romans were falling for was fallacy. They were already seeing that it was falling apart. Paul was writing a letter to believers, to Romans who had actually sort of become part of Judaism, and so they were their hearts were real tender to hear about Christ, and they were getting saved, and the reason they were doing it is they didn't have all that stuff in the past that the Jewish nation was hanging on to. They were able to see what Christ had actually done for them. And so Paul is saying, hey, you know what? While you were sinners, now you're not. You're believers. And you're believers because Christ died for you. Now listen, we're here tonight, and if you're a believer, you're here because Christ died for you. And if you're here tonight and you're not a believer, can I just go ahead and tell you right away, Christ died for you. See, He died for everyone. I taught Bible school several years ago and had a young man who was helping me. Derek Wynn was helping me in Bible school. And he taught one night, gave a great demonstration to the teenagers that were in there. Now, it wasn't great for one young man, but it was great for everybody else. Because to explain how Christ died for everybody, whether they wanted it or not, he had lollipops. And he was going around asking the teenagers, hey, you want a lollipop? And they'd say, yeah, yeah. They would take it. And he would turn around to one of our other teens that was in there. He was already set up for this. And he'd do 10 push-ups or sit-ups. It was sit-ups. He'd do 10 sit-ups. And he'd go to the next team. Hey, you want a lollipop? Yeah. 10 sit-ups. He'd give it to him. And this one young man, he's just doing all these sit-ups. Well, of course, he had me set up out there. He asked me if I want one. I told him no. He said, well, okay, that's fine. 10 sit-ups. But that's what Jesus did for us. No matter whether we accept it or not, He died for us. And you may be here tonight and you've never accepted that truth of for yourself, but can I tell you, Christ died for you. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to give an invitation in a little while. Not right now, we're going to give an invitation in a little while, and we're going to give you the opportunity to come and meet Christ right here at this altar tonight. It would be nothing that would please Brother Brinson more than him come back next week and find out that somebody got saved in his church when he wasn't here. But let's look at this exchange just a little bit. First of all, his exchange was for an eternal love. Do you know that God loved us so much all the way back there before He even knew your name that He was willing to send His Son? It's a love from eternity past that's going to go into eternity future. And it was an exchange for you. Not only is it an exchange for an eternal love, it's an exchange for an everlasting life. You know, if you leave here tonight and you have an accident out there on the road and your physical body comes to an end, your soul is going to live somewhere forever. John 3:16 says it's so that we won't perish but have everlasting life. So that our soul won't be damned into hell, but that we'll have everlasting life with Him in heaven. That's why He did it. See, the exchange was for an everlasting love. It was for an everlasting life. But teenagers, this is what I want you to get. I want you to get this more than anything else we're talking about tonight. It's not just for an everlasting love. It's not just for an exchange for an everlasting life. It's for an effectual living. See, Christ didn't die for you and for me so that one day we would be rewarded with heaven. See, God's promises aren't for us when we die. That's the promise of heaven. We're going to get that then. But can I tell you, He wants you to live an effectual life for Him now. See, if we were to go to the book of Romans in chapter 6, and we talk from Romans 6, 4, and it says we're to walk in newness of life. How many of you have ever seen a dead man walk? Now, don't tell me you watched The Walking Dead, because... All right? But dead men don't walk, do they? If you went to a funeral tomorrow, and as the preacher was preaching, the guy got up out of the casket and left, the funeral would be over. I mean, it would be over. And it's happened in history before, because Jesus met a crowd. They were carrying a guy, and he walked up, spoke, and the guy got up, funeral's over. Everybody went home. See, when God says He wants us to walk in newness of life, He wants you to walk now. Not when you're dead. Walk now in a newness of life. He goes on and He says, hey, I want you to not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. He's talking about now. Not when you're dead. Once you're dead, nothing's going to live in your mortal body, okay? Well, besides insects and things like that. And they'll only be there for a little while. Listen, God is calling you not only to have eternal life with Him in heaven, but for you to have an effectual life here on this earth. Now, how do we have an effectual life on this earth? Well, first of all, we talked about something when we was up there at the Wilds, didn't we? Brother Farrell was talking about different things, but one of the things he wants you to be able to do is be a witness. You know, we're a witness every day. But what are we witnessing to? Are we being a witness that the love of Jesus Christ lives in our life, or are we being a witness that we just live in this world? Are we being someone who has a heart for those who are lost, who are around us, those who are perishing everywhere we go, in your school, at your job, at your church, in your youth group, at the Wilds? Don't get caught up in the thing that, oh, well, they're at church, they must be saved. Statistics say that less than half the people that are in a congregation on Sunday morning, now that might not be true in this definite congregation, but less than half the people in most congregations are either unsaved or unsure. Where's our witness, teenagers? How are we going to look toward others? We're not going to let sin reign. We're going to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. God can't use dead arms. God can't use dead feet, and He's not going to use a dead mouth. Now listen. These instructions are for now. These instructions are for life. When you go out from here tonight, you ought to be thinking, you ought to be praying, you ought to be asking God, God, who is it that's in my realm? Who is it that's in my friends that I talk to that I'm not sure about? Now, you don't want to say, you know, you're saying, well, Brother Ricky, I don't want to go and accuse all my friends of being lost. No, you don't want to accuse them of being lost. Just make sure they're going to be in heaven with you. Say, hey, you know what? I know we go to church together and everything, but I've never asked you. You have accepted Christ as your Savior, haven't you? You'd never know who's sitting out there that the Holy Spirit's been working on. Can I tell you, when I was younger, Andrew and I had been married for a little while. I had worked for Georgia Power for several years, and I ran into a guy that used to actually work with my dad at Georgia Power. And so when he was working in the same area with me for a while. He knew me, he saw me, he watched me every day. I saw him somewhere. I had already surrendered to preach. I was going to Bible college, and I ran into him somewhere. And you know what he did? He said, you know, I don't know. He said, but God asked me. He just laid this on my heart that I need to give you this. And he gave me this little metal cross that says, Jesus saves. You know why? Because he'd seen my life for all that time, and I had not given witness that I was saved. See, sometimes you run into people that you just don't know. It's a good thing to ask. I was able to tell him, brother, I appreciate that. But let me tell you what God did for me. And I was able to give him a good, clear testimony of my salvation. You know what he told me? Keep that cross, give it somebody else in. You may run into people and give them a track, and they may say, oh, I'm already saved. Well, keep that thing, give it somebody else in. We were going to a gymnastics meet one time, went through a gate, and Andrea said, give her a track. And so she handed me a track. She's my track keeper. She hands me tracks, and I give them out because I'm on the driver's side all the time. And so I told the lady, I said, here you go, let me give you a track. She said, I've been saved all my life. I said, well, good, give that track to the next person through. She just laughed and went on. I don't know where she did or not. But the fact is, you never know what God's doing in somebody else's life until you ask. We had a young lady in our church, gave testimony several years ago. Got saved or gave a profession of faith, but she knew she wasn't saved. She didn't get saved until late in life, but you know what? She sat back there on that pew and wouldn't come down front. Pride. You know, pride has a way of getting in our way, doesn't it? A lot of things, we just say, I'm good. Can I tell you, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're good, you need to get good. And it all starts right here. Young people, God is looking for people like you who will serve Him with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. That's how He asked us to love Him. He loved us enough to give His only begotten Son. Shouldn't we love Him enough to give Him everything we've got? You're going to get an opportunity to start fresh tomorrow. And not just you, but everybody in this room is going to get an opportunity to start fresh tomorrow. Maybe there's somebody that's in that group of friends that you know that you can say, you know what, tomorrow, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. Well, what if they tell me they're saved? Great. Have a conversation with them. You know what? Iron sharpens iron. Be good about keeping them honest with it. Hey, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Good. What are you reading in your Bible? Maybe they just need some encouragement there. If you say, hey, well, I'm trying to read mine. I've been terrible at this. I'm trying to read mine. I'm going to start in this. Why don't we start together? And then we can talk about it. You know, we need good, solid friends who will help encourage us. Maybe we get to a point tomorrow that we get out there and we say, you know what? I'm going to ask them about being saved, and they may say, well, you know, I don't know if I believe that or not. What am I going to do? Paul, greatest missionary probably ever. You know what his greatest testimony was? Well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. He stood before kings and he said, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. So you don't have to be this great Bible scholar in order to lead somebody to the Lord. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. I love going out with Brother Byron Fox. Most of y'all know him. He's been here several times. I went home after visiting with him one time and my jaws hurt from laughing so hard all day long. But that's a man that loves the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is in his heart, and buddy, it just pours out everywhere. We went visiting the neighborhoods around this church, and you would have thought he lived here longer than I did. But you know what he said? I heard him say it 100 times that day. Let me tell you what Jesus did. And he would give a testimony of his salvation. That's all. You know what he said? Best day of my life. Ha 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 ha. You know? He'd have a great time. What if we did that tomorrow? What if we, you don't have to laugh like that, but what if you opened yourself up and said, you know what? Let me just tell you what Jesus did for me. Because we just don't know where people are. But can I tell you what we do know? That God loved them so much that He made that same exchange that He made for you, for them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.